Good morning. To welcome you here this morning, we're going to interrupt our regularly scheduled church service and do something a little bit different this morning. So hopefully you can bear with that. We've got a lot of different things that are going to be happening this morning. This morning we're concluding our story. We've been going through the story of God. We've been on this this adventure for the past 11 weeks, and so today's story is the conclusion of the story. And what we're going to be looking at today is the church and what it means to be the church. And I thought the best way to probably communicate what it means to be the church is to allow a piece of the church to speak this morning. And so that's what's going to happen. We're going to go through the story, but you're also going to hear a little bit of testimony from three of our students who not only attended Winter Youth, but more importantly, have something to share with you. And so this morning, we're going to have that opportunity. We're also going to talk a little bit about small groups, because we're going to be asking the big question: as the church, where do we go next? And so we have a video presentation that we're going to be doing this morning as well. So things are going to be a little bit different. If you came to hear me speak, come in next week. Actually, don't do it next week. We're going to do something different too. So come in 2 weeks. No, come next week as well, because we've got something special planned for next week as well. But let's pray, and then we're going to go into the story. Father God, I do thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the time that we can gather together in prayer for one another. I thank you for the time that we can gather together and, Lord, and focus on you in our time of worship. Father, how great you are. Lord, I don't understand how it is that you can use us the way that you do. That, Father, why you would choose to use us the way that you do. But, Lord, we are your church. We are your bride. We are your people. And Father, I thank you that you allow us the opportunity, Lord, to serve you. So, Father, I do pray right now this morning, Lord, as we look at as we look at your body this morning, as we look at the church, that Father God, that you would just be at work in each of our hearts, asking the big question: what part are we playing? Are we willing? Are we going? Thank you, Lord. Pray that in your Son's name. Amen. Now, I mentioned prayer. Okay, so 6 o'clock, not 6:30, right? I was told 6:30. So 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting. And this is something that, you know, when we talk about the church, we talk about gathering together, there's one amazing thing that happens. In fact, we'll see a little bit of this in the story. But when the church gathers together and prays, and one of my favorite moments in Acts is this moment where the guys get together and they're praying and they're asking ultimately where do we go? And it says that when they finished their prayer, the place shook. How incredible is that, to serve a God who would answer in such a mighty way? And sometimes God's answer to prayer is it's loud, it's violent, shakes. Sometimes it's that still quiet voice. But we can't hear God if we're not going to him, and that takes prayer. And so I would encourage you to consider making that prayer time a time that you would come out and join. So the story, the church. In the weeks that followed Jesus' death, he appeared to his disciples many times and was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. Quickly, the news about his resurrection spread throughout the land. One of Jesus' disciples named Thomas, he said, I won't believe he's alive unless I can put my fingers into the holes where his hands were nailed to the cross. Now, a few days later, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. Feel the holes in my hand. Put your hand in the wound on my side. And Thomas shouted, it is you, Jesus, my God. Then Jesus said, I will bless those even more who haven't seen but still believe. Now, soon after that, Jesus met with his disciples over a meal, and he said, John baptized you in water, but in a few days you will be baptized. You'll be baptized with God's Spirit. This will give you power to live in my ways and tell the entire world about me. And Jesus commanded them, go, make disciples all over the world. Teach them to walk in my ways and obey me. I'm leaving now to be with my Father in heaven, but you will never be alone. I want to repeat that one more time. I'm going away, but you will never be alone. See, God's Spirit will come and live inside you, giving you peace and leading you in all the ways of truth. As the disciples watched, Jesus went up into the sky, disappearing in the clouds right in front of them. And a few weeks later, a group of about 120 of Jesus' followers gathered to pray together in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, they heard a sound like a roaring windstorm that filled the house where they were meeting. And each of them was filled with God's Spirit and started speaking in languages that were not their own. They went out into the street and began to tell people about the great things Jesus had done. At that time, Jews from all over the world were living in Jerusalem, and this roaring sound was heard throughout the entire city. And a large crowd had gathered outside the house to see what was going on. And when the people heard Jesus' followers speak, they said, "How can this be? They're from Galilee, right? But they're speaking in our languages? This is amazing." And one of Jesus' disciples named Peter, he stepped forward to explain to the crowd what was happening. He said, "This is part of God's prophecy being fulfilled. We are eyewitnesses of the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead and is the true Messiah." Then Peter explained how Jesus had fulfilled everything the prophets said about the Messiah. He told the crowds, "Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God. In Jesus you will find forgiveness. He is the final sacrifice for everyone's sin. This is God's new covenant offered not just to the Jews, but also to all who want to be a part of God's family." That day, thousands believed what Peter had said and turned from their sins to follow Jesus. They found forgiveness in Jesus, realizing that he exchanged his life for theirs. And as the final sacrifice for all of men's sins, his blood became their covering. They were baptized and they became part of God's family and once again empowered to live out God's promise to be a blessing to all people. Now, God's new covenant was not written on tablets of stone like before, but on the hearts and the minds of his people, so they would always know how to live in his ways. These followers of Jesus were deeply committed to God and each other, sharing everything they had, praying, learning God's ways together, and helping anyone in need. All with great joy and generosity. Daily they ate together to honor and remember Jesus' life given for them. They saw God do amazing things through them, miracles and healings, and he added people to their group each day. This was the beginning of what the Bible calls the church, a community of people all over the world who, because of Jesus, once again enjoy a life that is full and complete, and as they follow the ways of God. We can join this story. This story can continue with us. And this is where the story ends. And of course, with every story that we've gone through, we've had questions, and we've encouraged you to take these questions home and talk to your family about these questions. And so some of these questions here this morning would be, do you have a desire to join this amazing story? We've asked this question for the past couple of weeks in the way of saying, are you ready to follow him? Are you ready to hand over everything you've got to him? It's called surrender. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to give your life to Christ? And if you are, then the next question is, are you ready to go even further? It's not just enough, and we'll see that this morning, not only in the testimony, but with the video that we're going to be watching, that it's more than just saying, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian. There's something that goes with it. So the question is, are you want to be part of this story, to live life in ways of God, to accept Jesus as your sacrifice, to be blessed and be a blessing to others? If you remember in the early part of the story, when talking about Israel, and please don't confuse Israel with the church, they are two very special people for God. And so at the very beginning, though, what we see is that all that would bless Israel would be blessed. All those who would curse Israel would be cursed. And I believe that same promise is alive today when it comes to the church. It is. And here's the big one. It kind of falls on us, too. Are we being a blessing to others, or are we being a curse to others? Keep going. God is offering you the best possible way to live. Are you ready for that? Will you choose his ways or your own? And what was Jesus' command right before leaving his disciples? It's go, isn't it? And there's a little bit more that goes with that, and we'll talk more about that this morning as well. Is this command also for us today? You bet it is. What is a disciple? And how do you make a disciple? I mean, we're told to be one, and we're told to make them. What did he say about God's Spirit? It's coming. It's here. What have you learned from these stories? What amazes you when we look at the whole picture of it all? What common theme runs through all the stories? Remember, I've told you from the very beginning, Jesus was never what? He was never plan B. He was always the plan from the beginning. And we see it fulfilled in us as the church. And how do all these stories connect as one big story? And then the final question that I have for you this morning is, how does this story continue? How will this story continue? 2,000 years after the ascension of Christ, here we are, Scio, Oregon, sitting at Scio Baptist Church. Where do we go from here? And I hope it's not just to the potluck afterwards. I hope there's something a little bit more. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. In fact, I kind of kept going back and forth. How do I want to deal with this morning? Do I want to do a big message about discipleship? Do I want to talk about what it means to go? And you've heard those messages before. And there'll be a come a time when I'll give those messages again. Because those are good messages. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. We need to get off our rears sometimes. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to have a couple of the students who are going to share with you. The way this worked out was for those who don't know, we went to a little thing called Winter Youth Celebration. I think I got a picture of the group there. And so this was before they left. I would show you the after picture, but it's just, you know, they're all tired and all worn out. And here they're all full of life and ready to go. But we took this group of kids. This is the first time that this church has gone to Winter Youth in some time. And so they didn't really know what to expect. There wasn't a single student who went who knew what to expect with Winter Youth. And so this morning, what you're going to get is an opportunity to hear from a few of them. I asked the group throughout our time up there, if there's anybody who has something they would like to share, I am ready to give you my pulpit. And three of them answered that call. And so this morning, you'll hear from those three. So right now, I'm going to pray for them. And as I pray, those three can go ahead and find your way up to the front pew there, and we'll let them talk. Father God, I do thank you so much again for this morning. And Father, I thank you that we as your church, as your people, that Lord, that I thank you for the opportunities that you give us. And Father, right now I do pray for these three students, Lord. I pray right now that we would give them our full attention, and that Father God, that we would know that what they have to share is something important for us to hear, because Lord, you've brought them here to this moment, to this point. Father, calm their nerves right now. Give them a sense of peace because they are amongst family. Pray that in your son's name. Amen. So our first one that we're going to bring up is Rebecca. And so Rebecca's going to come up. She's going to share. And then I've got something to share with you.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who supported us as we went. It was an amazing experience. And it really meant a lot to us to have people like you guys backing us up. So one thing that was really a high point for me would have been the quiet time that we spent every morning. And that was really good for me because I got to get away from everybody and just go be by myself, be in God's word. And it was really cool. And as I was looking at what I had written down and stuff, one verse really jumped out at me. And I want to read it. It's from Colossians 1. And it's, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. And I thought that was really interesting because a lot of times we do just grit our teeth and hope that everything will be fine in a little bit. You know, we can just stick it out. But I think God wants more. He wants us to have the glory strength of giving him the glory. And so that was really fun for me. The speakers were amazing. I'm really excited about next year, so thank you. You, everyone who supported us with your prayers, your financial support, it really meant a lot. Then the other thing, on February 5th, I will be leaving for Africa. I get to go visit my sister, who I haven't seen for a year and a half. Jennifer, she's over there. I'm sure a lot of you know who she is. So Dad and I will be leaving then. He is taking three students over to Kenya, and they will be with Wycliffe. And I will be helping with the child care program. So I just like to ask you all for your prayers. And they really are important because without you guys praying for us, it's not going to happen. So I just hope that you'll pray for us, and thank you so much for everything you've always done for us.
And yeah, you can clap. Grab something here. I'm not going to let Rebecca just get off the stage just yet. But Rebecca's going to Africa. Did you catch that? Okay. And in fact, when we look at the church, you know, it says to go. And a lot of times some people will take that go and it says go to all nations. And it says all. It doesn't say some or pick out a few. It says go to all. And just in case you're curious, yes, the United States counts. So perhaps the go is go across the street. Sometimes the go, though, is go across the great pond, if you will. And so that's the case with both Rebecca and her dad, Eric. And I think most of you know Eric, but I'm going to just go ahead and have Eric do a little of that. There you go. And so so they're going, okay? And now I know some of you heard somewhere in there something like, I'm going to go visit my sister. You go, oh, well, that's nice. She's going to go visit her sister. That's not all she's doing, okay? She is going to be working with some kids over there, right? Mm-hmm. And she's going to be doing some ministry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good answer. So so what we want you to do is we want you to be in support of her. We want you to be praying. In fact, before she leaves, before her and her dad leave, we will take some time as a church to pray for them, and that will not go unnoticed. But right now, here's the need. Okay, when we send missionaries, okay, and some of you know this is coming, right? It takes money. Okay, it takes prayer and it takes money. And I love how the scriptures tell us that if you know, how will somebody hear unless somebody goes, and how will somebody go unless somebody is sent? And part of that sending, okay, is making sure financially that they can get there. And so, you know, I know that Rebecca's got some envelopes and she's been passing some stuff out, and there's a few things out there. I want you to consider how you can help both Rebecca and her dad make this trip. Okay, and so there's a lot of different ways. Again, they need your prayer, okay? And you can talk to them, and I'm going to encourage you to do that, to talk with them specifically. How can I be praying? Okay, that's a big one, okay? Then the finances. Now, here's the deal. We serve a great and mighty God. We serve a great and mighty God who, quite frankly, his pockets don't need our help, but yet he chooses to use us in that way. And so I would ask you to ask the Lord, how can I help? Some of you say, well, yeah, I've got money. I can do that. Great. Some of you say, I got a dollar. Great. Okay, you understand that you know, you can see what God's done with just a small little basket of fish and bread, right? Can you imagine what he can do with a dollar? Okay, so I don't want to make this a big, come on, give money now. We're not taking an auction or anything like that right at the moment. I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to be praying about it, asking yourself, how can I be a part of this? Just in the same way that you invested in Winter Youth and sending the kids there. So, and again, I never believe that we ask for money just for the sake of asking for money. It's always an investment. It's an investment in the person that you're supporting. But I want you to consider every single life that Rebecca is going to touch along the way. And the amazing thing is, on any mission trip, if you've ever been on a short-term mission trip or a long-term, you know this to be true, that while she has a target place to be, and there will be a target ministry when she gets there, she is going to be ministering all along the way. There's going to be somebody probably other than her dad who might end up sitting next to her on the plane. That's ministry. Okay, there's going to be that long waiting line. There's going to be that TSA agent. There's going to be all these different people along the way. That's what you're investing in. And so I'm going to pray for Rebecca right here, and I want you to be considering, how can I be a part of what God is doing in the Straw household going to Africa? So Father God, I do thank you so much for Rebecca. I thank you for her father as well. And Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that we know that finances are no obstacle for you. And so Father, we just pray now that if there's a way that we can be a part of that, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would allow for that. You would allow us to serve you that way. And then, Father God, we do pray for the places that they'll be going, everything in between here and there. And that, Father God, that you would be softening and working in hearts. And that, Father God, that they would be opening up. And that, Father God, that we would see that the church isn't just here in this building, but the church is everywhere that we go. And Father, I just pray now that, Lord, that this would be a blessing to your church as we look at it from a global standpoint, Lord. Father, we thank you so much again for the time and the opportunity, Lord, that you give us to serve. Pray in your son's name. Amen. Thanks, Rebecca. So the next guy we got coming up, you might recognize, is Rebecca's brother. And so it's Matthew. And so Matthew's going to come up. Matthew's going to share. He's got a little bit of Winter Youth stuff. He's also got some other story to tell you.
All right. So first off, I, again, would like Rebecca did, would like to thank everyone for supporting the group that went. It was a good trip. We all learned a lot, I think. Anybody that didn't learn anything, they really missed out. And they must not have been listening at all, because there was a lot of information given out there. One of the things we did one of the nights is they gave us a book, and they told us to write down our story. So we all wrote down our, well, if we did what we were supposed to, we all wrote down our stories. They sent us off and had us go to our groups. And write down our story as to how God's changed us and how God's made us into the person we are. So my story is I've grown up in this church. I've been coming to this church pretty much my whole life, almost the whole time. I've grown up in a Christian family, Christian grandparents, cousins. I've been really blessed in that. I came to Christ at a young age. I think I was 5 or 6. But I really didn't know what that meant until the last probably 3 or 4 years. I've really come to trust him and know who he is in the last couple of years. And there's always room for improvement. I'm learning to follow him more. I've been blessed to go on a couple missions trip. I went up to one, the youth group took up to Washington. I was able to go to Africa this last summer for a month. And then the winter youth, and that had a big impact on me too. We had some really good speakers. The quiet time was amazing. Every morning we were supposed to take an hour, get away from everybody else, go sit in the hallway, out of our room, and study and pray. And that was really good for me. It really helped me to see where I was with God and to help me grow in that. We also had what they called midnight worship, which was at, I think it was 11:30 to midnight. And I unfortunately didn't make it a priority to get there the first 2 nights, but the last night I did. And it was amazing. There was probably 15 or 20 people, and we were just praising God, and it was amazing. It was awesome to see, too, the other people in the group growing and learning more about him. And anyway, thank you all for your support, prayers, and financial support.
So, just take a deep breath. It's okay. So you've heard from two kids that most of you probably know, and so next, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear from Michaela Rushing, and did I spell it right? Did I get it right? Yes. All right. So Michaela's going to come and share with you, but I'm gonna make her hold off for just a second. It's okay. But both Rebecca and Matthew mentioned the schedule, and some people, when it comes to things like youth conferences, they think, oh, that's just like some big party, right? And most of these kids, some of these kids probably thought that's what they were going to, and then they got there and found out it wasn't quite the party that they thought maybe it was going to be, a little bit different. And so the schedule is a pretty grueling schedule if you're not used to having a schedule, especially on your Christmas break. And so, but the opportunities to come to, they have quiet time, they've got times where the speakers are speaking and whatnot, and there's a little bit of fun mixed in there as well. But what really happens at Winter Youth is very similar to what we're going to talk about when we talk about small groups. And there's just something about being in the environment that Winter Youth provides that allows the Lord to just to be able to be heard just a little bit more. And so I'm going to have Michaela come on up, and she's going to share what exactly happened there for her.
I just wanted to say thank you for sending me. I wasn't originally planning on going. It wasn't till the day before that I decided I was going to go. And so I just wanted to share my story and how I got to where I am right now. So growing up, I lived next door to my grandparents, and they were a huge part of my life. My family, they don't go to church, and so my grandma, she really taught me about Jesus. And when I was about 3, I accepted him into my heart, but I didn't know what that meant. And then as I got older, my grandparents, they would ask me to come to church, and I would say no. And I'd make up some excuse about not wanting to get up early. And they wouldn't push it or anything, they just say okay. they said I should go, and I didn't. When I was 11, my grandma was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and my life kind of completely changed. I started to give up on God, and not only that, but believe there just was no God at all. And I went to Tadmor with my friend, and she's a really good friend. And after years of listening to old hymns and stuff, I didn't know that there was any other kind of Christian music. So when the band started, it was, God was there. But it didn't make my grandma better. Actually, that summer, when I was 12, she was put in a nursing home. I had lived right next door to where I'd seen her every day of my life, and she wasn't there anymore. And it just didn't feel like God cared about me. One Thanksgiving, Grandpa explained that while God could help Grandma, he couldn't because that wasn't part of his plan. I didn't really know what he was talking about. My grandpa died last November. I kept thinking I wanted to see him again. I came to church with my friend, and the sermon, it was about Noah's Ark. My grandma, she had told me about Noah's Ark, but I never really thought about it. And I thought it was cool that he, like, went through it and talked about how it was possible. And so I came back the next week. And when I signed up for Winter Youth, I thought it would be a lot like camp with free time and fun activities, but it was different. When I was at Tadmor, God reminded me he was real, but at Winter Youth, he changed me. He showed me that he loved me no matter what. He performed miracles that week. Earlier this month, my grandma was diagnosed with cancer. My family's meeting with the doctor soon to discuss treatment. Before I went to Winter Youth, I would have blamed God and been really, really angry, but because of what I learned, I'm sad, but I trust that he's a plan for my grandma and for me.
With Winter Youth, what I love about Winter Youth is that you can go in with one expectation and completely walk out with something else. And for, again, I don't want to take too much time on talking about Winter Youth, but you know, I've been a part of Winter Youth since 1988. You know, starting out as a student and eventually as a leader, haven't missed a year yet, and I hope I never do. I love what happens at Winter Youth, and Winter Youth is part of CB Northwest. And for those who aren't aware, here at Scio Baptist, we're in fellowship with CB Northwest, and that's the Conservative Baptist Movement. And Tadmor is also part of it. Tadmor is a beautiful resource, a beautiful place that is just around the corner. And if you haven't been there, you need to. And guys, you have the opportunity when it comes to the leadership that's coming up at the end of this month and the signups in the back. I want to go with you. Let's go and see what God will do on that mountain there and what will come back here. And I love how things work, how God plants and God grows and God nurtures. And then so things are in movement from that summer, just, you know, how many years back. And then God is still at work. He's not dormant. He's not just sitting still. He has a plan. He's moving. And then to have Michaela, honestly, here's the deal. We had all these kids signed up for Winter Youth, and we had a couple of kids who at the very last minute weren't able to go. And the bummer to that is that we already paid for their, you know, we paid the ticket, and there's no refund at that point. So we were kind of, oh, we're out of the money. And I was like, oh, what a waste, you know? And then all of a sudden, the night before, Michaela comes in and says, I'd like to go, you know, and she hadn't signed up before. And because of that, one of those vacancies, we were able to slip her right on in there. That's not an accident. That's not coincidence. That's God at work. God was at work at Tadmore. God was at work before Tadmore. He knows what's going on. Michaela knows what's going on. And I remember, you know, that night that Michaela made that decision, you know, she just shortly after that, the description I was given, she didn't come straight to me. She went to my wife, but she was looking miserable. And like the whole world had kind of just crashed down in front of her. And Wendy's like, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "I think I have to share." I hope that if you don't know Michaela, that you get to know Michaela, as well as the other kids and the other students that went. And there's other stories to be shared. And so I would really encourage you to hear those stories, to listen to these kids, to find out what God's doing in their life. And for some of them, they're in a planting phase right now. Things are just kind of working together. So be praying that that the Lord would be faithful in their lives in a way that they can see, that they can understand, that they can grasp. And so we're gonna kind of transition a little bit here, because when it comes to the church, some people have this idea of the church as being Sunday morning. They have a specific order of service that things are supposed to be in. And as you can tell this morning, that's not the case. And so for anybody who here is worried that now they haven't gone to church because church wasn't normal, I want you to understand, ever find a church that has its way of saying this is normal, get out of that church, because they don't know what they're doing. Church isn't supposed to be normal. We're supposed to be peculiar people. And so we do peculiar things. And one of those peculiar things that we do is, hopefully, we like to spend time with one another outside of Sunday morning here. Now, I've been told that we live in a small community. I've been told that you can't throw a rock without hitting a mask. I've been told that that everywhere you go, everything you do, you're going to be connected with somebody. But here's the deal. I don't care how small your community is, and I don't care how small you think your church might be. But the reality is, we can hide from one another if we want to. And we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be getting together. It says in the scripture, it says in the story, that they gathered together daily. And because of that, they added to their number daily. If you think church is only Sunday morning, then you're shortchanging yourself. Because church is everywhere you go. It's everything that you do. And so one of those opportunities that we want to provide for you is small group. Now, I know some of you know what small group is, or you have an idea of what small group is. I'm going to explain to you what we're doing. Okay, starting at the end of this month, we're going to begin small groups. We have signups in the back. In fact, let me even back up for a moment. Well, no, I'll share first. Small group is not a Bible study. Okay, Bible study has its place and its time, and we need it. We need to be in a spot where we are learning. Things like Sunday school and other Bible studies, these are those kind of things. Small group is a little bit different. And what it is, it's a little bit more on the social side of things. We're going to gather together in His name. We are going to be looking at His works. Okay, but the way we're going to do it is just a little bit different, and part of that is that social aspect. It's getting together in a smaller group, because here's the deal. The church is, it's big, you know, and the thing is there are some people that sit over here who don't know the people who sit over there. Okay. For me, almost every day, it's a new face, you know, but for you, there are new faces here. And the question is, are you getting to know them? Maybe not. Small groups and opportunity. Are we doing that? Okay. I'm sorry. Children, you can head on out for children's church. So, my bad. So, as they go out, as we send out the future of the church right there, what we're doing with small group is giving an opportunity for this church to get to know one another in a little bit more intimate way. And so the way this works is, it's not a Bible study, but we will be going through some material. The material we'll be going through is Francis Chan's Crazy Love. And if you don't know who Francis Chan is, that's okay. In a minute, you're going to find out. And so with this book, we're using this book as a tool. That's all it is it's a tool. It's not the only material out there. There's a lot of material. This is just the one that I've chosen. It's the one that I've asked our shepherds, "Do you think?" And they said, "Yes." And we think this is the time, this is the right place for it. It's a book that's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you in what God wants out of your life. And it's going to ask the ultimate question, are you in love with Him? Because He's in love with you. And so we're going to go from there with this. And so a small group is, it's going to happen in homes, at least in most cases. It's going to happen in homes. It's going to be groups of maybe 10 people. Okay, and those 10 people are going to come together. And now some of you are readers. And so when you read this book, you will have no problem getting through the book. Some of you are not readers. And I'll tell you that, you know what, the way Francis writes, I think you can read this book. Okay, in fact, we're only asking you to read a chapter a week. It's not that much. Okay, but even let's say you're going, oh, no, that's my easy way out. I'm not a reader. I don't want to read. I'm not going to read. So therefore, I get to not do small group. No. No, in fact, the way small group will be designed is you can even go and participate without ever even touching the book. Oh, so all of a sudden, all your excuses are out the window. No, your next excuse is, but I don't know, there's probably not a night that would be available for me. We have small groups right now happening 5 out of 7 nights during the week. Okay, and so the idea here, not like an AA where you just kind of pick up a meeting every now and then. You're going to commit to a group, okay, and you're going to commit to a time. So we've got a lot of times out there, and just to give you an idea, now these are not necessarily, in most cases they are, but not necessarily the leaders, but these are the homes of the people who have volunteered. And this is not exactly an exhaustive list. There's a couple of homes that we're still working on. We're still trying to make arrangements with, but just so you know who they are. On Monday nights, you've got two options, okay? You have Butch and Fran Thomas. I'm not going to ask Butch to stand. Is Butch here? Did he make it through? He didn't make it through. Okay. Be praying for Butch, praying for his back. But the Thomas household is going to be open on Monday. Also, Ray and Marion Rosemont. And I'm going to ask them to stand because they're right there. And I know. And the reason I'm asking them to stand is because, you know, Ray and Marion, they've only been coming for a short amount of time. There's probably a good chance that some of you don't know who Ray and Marion are. Ray and Marion? Family? Ray and Marion. Thanks, guys. So Tuesday nights, and I'm not seeing them here either. I hope Jude's okay. Is Michael and Alyssa there? No? Okay. So you guys know the Lemkes, right? Michael and Alyssa, Jude, about this big. And so they're going to open up their home. In fact, they're like way out towards Staten area. So if you're out that way, you think, I don't want to drive all the way back into Scio. That's okay. That's happening there on Tuesdays. And then also Greg and Joan Lowe are going to have a thing on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Guy and Dixie Barth, and you know Guy, and hopefully you know Dixie. She's like, you can wave. It's okay. Yeah. And then Thursday, I know they're not here this morning, but Gary and Kitty Struckmeyer, they're opening up their home. And then also Chris and Belinda Kidd. And I know they are here, and they're going to stand too. Because again, a newer family that maybe you don't know who Chris and Belinda are. Now you do, okay? And so there they are, and they're opening up their home. Thanks, guys. And then the McComber family as well. So Philip's not here, but Alita is, and so I'll make Alita stand. And so there's Alita. And they're going to open up their home on Friday. And so there's a lot of different opportunities. There's signups in the back. Here's the deal. There's 10 slots available on each one of those clipboards. When it's full, I'm taking it away, okay? Because the idea isn't to go, let's go have church at the McComber house, okay? It's let's have a small group at the McComber house. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of a small group. Find a place. There should be a place and a time. And if there's not, you tell me, because I'll make one, okay? I will find a home, and I will find a time. And if the small group is me and you, fine. But I want you to be a part of small group. Small group is... The church can only provide so much. The church can only do so much. I, as the pastor, can only do so much. The shepherds can only do so much. Small group gives us an opportunity to get a little bit more personal, and it gives us the opportunity to meet the needs that might, quite frankly, just get overlooked because somebody missed it. And that's what we want. I would hope, I would pray that it would be 100% involvement. Okay, I don't know if that's going to happen. I know that God's going to do something amazing through small group, and I don't want you to miss out. Okay, so the big question of the day. Okay, that's great, Mike. Francis Chan, who is this guy? And so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to hand over the rest of the message this morning to Francis Chan. We're going to watch a video. This is a video from a different series of his, not the Crazy Love stuff. This is a series called Basic. And I thought this fits so well with what it is that we've been talking about as being part of the church, because the church goes beyond just these walls. The church is in your homes. But the church is also about being disciples. And it's about not only being disciples, but being active disciples. And then being active disciples, being making disciples. And so I thought this video here, I think it illustrates that point. And I thought, why should I try to just re-preach what has already been done so masterfully in this video. And so I would just, it's not terribly long, so we'll go ahead and watch the video. Can we turn these lights?
It seems like more and more people are understanding the truth that the idea of church was never meant to be a building or a service time, but that church really refers to people, and that we need to think about it more like family. Your family is a family regardless of whether you meet in a home or regardless of whether you have a reunion. You're always a family. And in the same way, the church is always the church. It was a church before they had a building. The church before they had these formal gatherings. The church just means the followers of Jesus Christ. Now, while we may agree that the church is the followers of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean we're all in agreement, because there's so much disagreement on what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Just like we can distort the concept of fearing God, we can also distort the concept of following Jesus. And it's a pretty simple concept. I mean, Jesus says, follow me. And it's the first thing he said to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, granted, he was talking to fishermen, and he was saying, look, okay, forget the fish for a second. Follow me, and I'm gonna have you not just catch fish, I'm gonna have you catch people. And it's the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples too. He says, you know what, now, Go and make disciples. Go and make these other followers of me and baptize them and teach them to obey everything I commanded you. So the first thing Jesus says to his disciples is, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Last thing he says is, go and make these disciples, these people who follow me. And in between those two statements, he spent a lifetime of showing them what it means to follow God, showing them what it means to make disciples or to fish for men. It's this idea of, we get more and more people to come under the authority of God, to actually submit to him and live the way that God wants us to. And so he tells his disciples, he goes, follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to do this. He spends his whole life doing it. Then he goes, now go and do the same thing. Where it gets weird is that nowadays, there are millions of people on this earth who call themselves followers of Jesus, but their lives look nothing like his. And they're not obeying the things that he called them to do. And yet in their hearts, they're convinced they're followers. Kids, this was a lot easier. Remember when we were kids and we played that game, follow the leader? It's pretty easy, right? The leader pats his head, you pat your head, the leader pats his knee, you pat your knee, the leader flaps his wings. You just kind of follow and do whatever he does. It's weird though, in the church we've done this weird thing where we go, well, the rules to follow Jesus are different than follow the leader. See, in follow Jesus, we don't actually have to do what he does, we just do it in our heart. It doesn't really make any sense. I mean, imagine a kid on a lounge chair playing follow the leader and going, yeah, I'm flapping my wings in my heart. You know, it just doesn't. Why does that work in church and not anywhere else? Look, when my daughter comes to me and I say, hey, go clean your room, she knows better. She's not going to come back a couple hours later and say, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said to me. You said, go clean your room. You know, what am I gonna say? Oh, good job, that's what I wanted. No, and she's not gonna come to me and say, Dad, I can say, go clean your room in Greek. Listen, that's not gonna fly. And what if she says, you know what? My friends and I, we're gonna gather together and every week we're gonna have a study and we're gonna figure out what it would look like if I cleaned my room. No, none of that's gonna fly. Just go and clean it. She knows that. So why do we think that this type of thinking or this type of talk is gonna work with Jesus? I mean, Jesus was as black and white as you get. He would look at people and he'd say, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? He says that in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I ask you to do? I mean, why would you call someone your master and then not listen to him? And he says in Matthew 7:21, he goes, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only the one who actually does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, these words that we give without action behind it, that was never acceptable to Jesus. He says it's pretty simple. When I say follow me, you follow me, you do what I do. And when I ask you to do something, you just obey. One of the things I love about how Jesus teaches is that he's always completely honest. He doesn't hide anything. He just lays it all out there. Like when he told the people, hey, follow me, he explains to them how difficult it's going to be to follow him. He goes, listen, if you follow me, it's not going to be this life of luxury. In fact, I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight. And not only that, but people are going to hate you for following me. And not only that, but there's going to be all these temptations in the world, and you're going to have to fight all these things, and even your own family might be against you. If you follow me, you may end up getting crucified like I'm about to get crucified. See, sometimes we're not that honest with people. We try to talk people into following Jesus by just saying, hey, if you follow Jesus, you can be forgiven, you'll get to go to heaven, you can have intimacy with God, and all those things are true, but we neglect this other part that Jesus was very upfront with, saying, look, it's very, very difficult to follow me. There's a wide road, and most people are going to take this wide and easy road, but there's this narrow road that leads to life. Very few people will find it, and it's a hard path, he explains. But he also tells them, but I'm worth it. I am so worth it. The question of following Jesus maybe isn't so much about how do we follow Jesus, because I think that's obvious. How do you follow Jesus? Just do what he says. He says, feed the poor. Okay, go feed the poor. Love your enemies. Okay, I'll go love my enemies. You know, do good to those who hate you. Okay, if someone hates me, I'm going to do something good for he explains, and so it's really not confusing how to follow Jesus. Maybe the question that most people struggle with is why? Why should I follow this Jesus then? If this road is so narrow and so difficult, then why should I follow him? And part of me goes, do we really need an answer to why? I mean, after all, isn't it just a little bit of a privilege and an honor that we get to follow the Creator? But if I'm perfectly honest, let me tell you why I decided to follow him. The reason why I decided to follow Jesus is because Jesus said, Jesus promised, he says, I am going to come back to that earth, and I'm going to come back someday, and I'm going to judge the earth. And when I read about his judgment, like when I read the book of Revelation, it's terrifying. And you have in Revelation 6, for example, you have these people who are really the biggest people on the earth. I mean, they're larger than life. You talk about the kings, the performers, the people we look at as just up on a pedestal, but you have them screaming and hiding in caves when Jesus starts to pour out his wrath on the earth. In fact, they're hoping that the rocks will come and crush them because they're saying, someone hide us hide us from the wrath of this one who sits on the throne, and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, because the day of his wrath has come, and who can stand it? Who's even heard about that phrase, the wrath of the Lamb? And when we talk about Jesus, we'd rather think of him as like a little lamb. We like to think of him as that guy with the long, blonde, feathered hair that's just petting sheep and playing with little kids and so gentle. And yeah, there's that side of him. But understand, in the Bible, Jesus talks about hell more than he talks about heaven. Jesus explains that I'm a powerful being and you want to be on my side. And so honestly, I follow Jesus because in some ways I think, what other choice do I have? In John chapter 6, Jesus said some really difficult words, and this is in front of thousands of people. Thousands of people are listening to Jesus, and when he's done teaching, everyone leaves, except for 12. Everyone's leaving going, I can't take that message. I can't stomach that. And Jesus looks at the 12 who are left, and he just asks them a very simple question. He goes, you guys want to leave also? And Peter's answer was really profound and yet simple. He goes, where are we going to go? And he says, you have the keys to eternal life. I know your message is hard, but where are we going to go? You think you're out for this life that's so difficult, and you are, but you find out that there's actually blessing, and you actually find more peace in taking this hard road than going with this wide road that everyone else is going to go on. And Jesus says, just take this, follow me. And you start learning that all the things that he's saying let go of and walk away from, those are actually things that were going to destroy you anyways. Jesus says, if you're going to try to save your life, you're going to end up losing it. But if you lose your life for my sake, then you're going to find it. In other words, if you're going to try to hold on to all these things and try to save every bit of life and everything that brings you pleasure, he goes, you're going to end up losing your life that way. But if you would surrender to me, if you would just trust me, trust that I have something better and let go of everything else, he goes, then you're really going to find life. I mean, think about it. You really think that Jesus needs anything from us? He's the creator. Jesus wants to give. He wants to bless. In fact, when Peter says, Jesus, we gave everything up for you, Jesus quickly stops Peter and says, hold on. He goes, everything you gave up, you're going to end up being rewarded for it. I'm going to give you 100 times what you gave up. He goes, don't you understand this life of giving and serving other people? He goes, you're actually going to find blessing in it because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when you let go and you start surrendering those things and you start following Jesus, you realize that, wow, surrendering to him is actually a great thing. And as we surrender, it's the God of the universe who then humbles himself and says, yes, I'm your leader, but I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to die on a cross for you. I'm going to listen to your prayers. And in a sense, we've got God himself caring for us. There's a reason why Jesus says, follow me. It's not because he needs me. It's not because he needs anything that I have to offer. But he's telling me, follow me, because this is the way that I'm going to lead you to a life that goes way beyond anything you could have ever come up with by yourself. Thank you.
what I want you to understand when it comes to small groups is that this life, this following Jesus, this hard road that's in front of us, it can't be done alone. It's not designed to be done alone. He didn't say to his disciples, okay, I want you all to go out individually. He just said, go. And so with small groups, that's the opportunity, is to gather back together, to come together during your week, and to be able to share your burdens with one another, to share your needs with one another, but then also as a group to look and see who else has burdens out there, who else has needs out there, and what it is that God's calling you to do about that. And so I really want to encourage you, we're going to be pushing this for the next couple of weeks to get signed up. There is a book that goes with it. We need to order those books, so we need to know how many books to get. The books, we're getting them for $10 each. If that's too much for you, you just say something. We'll get you the book, okay? If you already have the book, great. But we would like to have that resource in your hand by the time we start. And so the sign-up's back there. And when it comes to following Jesus, My question is, are we just saying, yeah, it's a nice idea, or are we really ready to say, let's go do that? I want to do that. I want to get up and I want to do that. Now, I'm going to close in prayer. I want to remind you that with all the stories, we've been printing those out and they're back there, and they're bright green one for this week. There's a little epilogue story that's at the end of the questions. And so I'm not going to read that this morning, but I encourage you to pick one of those up to read that. But it talks about the fact that at some point in time, the story, as far as the earth is concerned, the story has an end. There is an ending that's coming. And we're living in between that time of Jesus and the ending. And really encourage you to consider where you're standing in God's story now before that ending takes place and the restoration of his earth the way that it was originally intended before that comes about. So let's pray. Father God, I do thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for this time. And Father, I thank you so much for the students who shared. And Father, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that Father, that this road that's ahead of them, the road that they've chosen to follow, Lord, it's a hard road. And so we pray for these. I pray for these three students in particular. I ask, Lord, that now that they've made their testimony known here, that Father, that we are now accountable to you to help them. And Father, I pray that we are that encouragement. And Father, for all the testimony that's here at the church, Lord, that we become accountable to one another, that Lord, that we would hear each other's stories, and Lord, we would be an encouragement to follow you. And that, Father God, that we would not simply say it, but we would do it. And Father, I do thank you again so much for this morning. I thank you for who you are, Lord, and what you're doing. And I pray that in your son's name. Amen.